All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll slow down and look at this morning. And hopefully we can take a break somewhere in the middle of it or somewhere in there. The Lord will give us a good stopping point and go get something to eat and come back. I need about probably 5 or 6 services to go through this thought. And so I'll try to not squeeze it into 1 or 2. Be patient. If the Lord comes back, it'd be better anyhow. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 says this. We'll go 1 through 6. And now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'd be a good minister today. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. According to the word of God, I could be a good minister if I do this, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Zach, if you will, pray for me, please.
Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We pray, dear God, that you bless the remainder of the service today. God, that you bless our pastor, help him to say the things that we need to hear. I pray that you help us. God, we need your presence. We need your power. God, in the services today, and I pray, God, that you teach us your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
As we read the scriptures, we can see time and time again that there are signs of the end being near. And you have to understand that the last days and the latter days is referring to kind of two different things. But many of the signs are not biased to sinners. I mean, a lot of times when you read things about the latter days or the last days, either one, those signs is not picking on sinners. It's not saying things necessarily that sinners will be doing or things that sinners is going to be caught up in, but it mentions things that saved people are going to be caught up in as well as lost people is going to have to go through. So when you read about the signs of the times, don't exclude that from Christians. Because Christians will be experiencing the same. I want to look at this because I for sure don't want to be used in my life as an end time prophecy. I don't want to be used as an end time sign. How about that? I mean, you know, we look at lost people and think that they're going to represent the end times, but no, the Lord used saved people to show us the latter days, what it's going to be like according to the signs of saved people. And I don't want to be that example. I don't want to be a latter times or a latter day sign. Look at verse number 1 in chapter 4. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That word expressly there, it means it speaks boldly. It speaks frankly. It speaks dogmatically. The Spirit of God is talking about speaks as a matter of fact. This is not very politically correct. This is not timidly. This is not a hope so or a think so. This is a matter of fact. What the Spirit of God is saying is the very things that's going to happen, that are happening, and will continue to happen. And he's bold about it. He's factual about it. And then he said, not only does he speak expressly about it, but he says that some shall depart from the faith. Now, as a matter of fact, the Spirit speaketh and says that there's going to be some that falls from the faith, departs from the faith. There's going to be people leaving.
Now he's not talking about sinners. Let me remind you that one more time. He's not pointing his finger at the sinner crowd, but he's pointing his finger at the so-called saved crowd and saying, that's the crowd. If you'll keep your eyes open, they're going to depart from the faith. And when you start seeing so-called saved people leaving the faith, you know that we're in the latter days.
Well, have we seen this happen or what? I mean, I can tell you in the last 5 or 10 years, Steve, of people, person after person after person that I know that was supposed to be saved that has departed from the faith. They have wandered away from the very things that they claim to believe and went in a totally different direction. I've seen it myself. So what does that say? I'm telling you, we're in the latter days, church. We're in the latter days. But he said, we already know of some people, and we're going to see more. It's amazing how many people I know that was theologically correct and doctrinally sound when I started as a preacher. I mean, 20-some years ago, when I was just a young buck trying to start out for God, it's amazing how many people I knew that was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and now today are no longer preaching that same message. Not the same gospel. Not even out of the same Bible. I mean, it's amazing. I know people that's went away, Miss Amber, that is in the nut house now. They've departed from the faith and they didn't end up in a better place. They ended up in the crazy house. I mean, it's amazing, man, how many people I've seen since I've started. I'm just a middle-aged man. It's amazing how many I've seen depart from the faith, It blows me away at the compromises that's been made, huh? I tell you what blows my mind is these dogmatic, these strong Christians that have raised children, and most of them's a bunch of stinking pansies, and the moms and dads now has made compromises for their children. I've heard it and seen it all my life. It's amazing how people stand strong while their children are young, and then their children get a little old teenage year on them and start growing some wild hairs and running wild with this world, and mom and dad start making compromise. Hey, listen to me. I don't care if all three of mine go hog stinking crazy. The word of God don't change, and by the grace of God, I'm not going to change. The word of God's going to be right. God's going to be right. And my little three hellions is going to be wrong, friend. That's just the way it is. I don't want to compromise for my children. I don't want to change because my youngins don't stand on the word of God. But I know a lot of people that have. Sure. I know a lot of people that used to stand true to the word of God. Now they'll stand with whatever their children says goes according to the word of God. Whether it be the word of God or not. We've raised a generation of religious, effeminate religionists. You got that? Effeminate religionist. That's what we've raised. My generation, I guess the generation even before me, has raised a bunch of sissy so-called Christians. It blows my mind. We spend hours. We've let them spend hours upon hours. I mean, moms and dads ought to be on top of this stuff. But we've raised a generation of religion, effeminate religionists that has spent hour upon hour to twist the scriptures, Fred. They've taken things in the Bible and twisted them up and tried to make them say something that they didn't say, and just to justify their wicked lifestyle. I've got people on my mind when I'm trying to preach this. They keep popping through my mind and running through my mind, and I'm doing my best not to mention no names, but I can see people as I preach this that has lived what I'm trying to tell you this morning. They've taken the word of God and they justified, Steve, tattoos. How about that? Fireball preacher's children. Go get tattoos. And they start justifying their tattoos because somebody else drank a Coca-Cola. Well, it's just as wrong to drink a Coca-Cola as it is to get a tattoo. I say one thing, friend. If God convicts you of drinking Coca-Cola, you're to not drink a Coca-Cola. And I tell you, you're not doing anything to hurt your body on purpose. Man. I'll tell you one thing, friend. It's hard to go down there to the tattoo. You can't sit down over a good meal, according to the scriptures, and you can eat you a good old piece of hog. Amen. I mean, son, you can get you a good old piece of ham, and you can say the blessing. You can thank God for it, and God's going to bless it and honor it, and he's going to help you with it. But you can't hardly go down there to the tattoo parlor and say, Lord, we want to thank you with it, and God bless you with it. Amen, son. That ain't what this scripture said. No, sir. But it's amazing how we've done twisted the scriptures to justify a non-separated worship. Isn't it amazing that you can twist the scriptures now and have a non-separated worship service? I mean, man, just any old way you want to be, you can just be. And we're going to worship in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sort of like what he was talking about in Sunday school. Everybody's got them a little Jesus. And I like what old Jim Stetcher does say. No Jesus is better than a false Jesus. I mean, man, we've got false Jesus today where you can come and you can go act and live any old way you want to. And you can still just come in and you can talk like a little sissy and you can say amen. Play the little religious music. Listen, we've allowed a bunch of sodomites. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just telling you what it is. The Bible says there's going to be some depart from the faith. All these people wasn't raised in charismatic churches. A lot of them was raised in independent, fundamental, fire-breathing, Bible-preaching Baptist churches. But now they grow up and they let a bunch of sodomites entertain them with music. They departed from the faith. We've allowed whoremongers to entertain us in the church. You say, preacher, that's harsh. I know it's harsh, but the truth is harsh sometimes. I know some of these people. I know them real, real good, some of them. And I know how they can't control their self, and they're being controlled from their privates, and I'm telling you, man, they float around and hit about, live like a bunch of rabbits, and they go down to church and in the name of Jesus departed from the faith. Departed from the faith. I want these children to know that stuff's wicked. I want the next generation to still hear a preacher that believes the Bible the way the Bible is supposed to be believed. Amen. I believe worship ought to be separated. You can't mix oil and water. You can't mix the flesh and the spirit. You can't come in here and get on this platform, ladies, and get them V's cut real low and them bottoms cut real high. I don't believe men, bless God, ought to go to church with skinny pit pants on. In fact, I don't even think they ought to put them on in a dressing room. I don't think a man ought to put a pair of pants on that's so tight it shows all of his business. I think it ought to be loose and flowing. I think it ought to be modest. I think when you get to the house of God, you ought to be covered up. Cover that wicked flesh up. It's wicked as nine hells. God never has under flesh. He never will under flesh. And you can't put flesh on a display and expect God to show up in a worship service. You just can't. You can't do it. I don't believe in women showing their bottoms. I don't believe in them showing their tops and getting up on a platform and hitting the drums and electric guitars and bouncing up and down and arousing every man in the congregation, and we do it all in the name of Jesus Christ, and we call it worship. It's departed from the faith. You can't find that kind of worship nowhere in your scriptures. Right. Oh, sir. You can't manifest the flesh and God at the same time. You can't magnify the flesh and God at the same time. What blows my mind is, and I am not a legalist, but I get sick and tired of seeing things slip. The Bible said we need to take a more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We've let some things slip. We're letting our dress code slip because we're being so stinking nice about it all the time. I think you're to dress right, by the way. Amen to God. I think you're to cut. Nobody ever ought to see your thighs, lady, but your husband and your doctor. Right, amen to God. No man ought to ever see your legs but your husband and your doctor. I want me a man doctor, Steve. I don't even want a female doctor.
I'll never forget being down there at the Ravines, and we had that little medical clinic right outside the gate across the street, and I got in that poison sumac. I mean, son, I got in that junk, and it was eating me alive, Miss Holly. I had that stuff all over me. It done spread all over my body. I was itching so bad. I was down there working. It was about 100 degrees. I had old sweat and everything just grime. Just, man, I felt like a dog. I said, I got to have some relief. I went over to that clinic across in the Ravines, and was sitting back there in that room, and there's a woman doctor walked in. She said, pull your pants down. I went, huh? She said, pull your pants. Hey, that's a normal routine. I understand that. I'm not blowing that out. I just said, huh? She said, pull your pants down. I said, what are you talking about? She said, this has got to go in your buttocks. And I went, oh, well. Hey, I said, listen, lady, I stink. You're a woman. I'm a man. I've been working. I'm sweaty. I stink. How about I just give you a little hip action? She said, that'd be fine. I was able to just pull her down right there just far enough for her to stick that golf ball in my hip. Amen. I'm telling you, boy, it hurt. So what are you talking about? Modesty. I'm talking about letting things slip. Man, dressing right, looking right, acting right. One of the biggest problems I had with dipping, Steve. Listen, I love it. My flesh loves it. I could snort some. I could go ahead and just swallow some. I liked it good. I didn't even like to spit the juice out, Miss Holly. I like to swallow. I like every bit of it. Get me a big old chew of red, man. I didn't like spitting in a spittoon. I like tasting the juice, man. I like to swallow the juice in it. You know how hard it was, Miss Stephanie, to walk up to somebody and tell them about Jesus with a chew in my mouth? What a terrible testimony, son. I mean, it's hard to try to hide and dip a snuff in your mouth, but it's packed in there like it. And the Lord nudges you to go tell somebody about Jesus. And you can't go tell somebody about Jesus because you got this big old dip in your mouth. All that sinner has to say is that dip in your mouth? Tough, pretty tough, pretty tough times. Believe in being separated. I believe in being separated in our worship. I believe in living holy and clean. People's departed from this stuff, man. The church, the average church has departed from a separated lifestyle. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I get so sick and tired of hearing these little sissy butt mamas and daddies ain't got enough sense to be a mom and daddy. All my children may not be polishing halos this morning, but I sure didn't compromise on this stuff. Well, I don't want to say nothing. Listen, I don't want to say that. I'm afraid I might lose them. Listen, if you're afraid you might lose them, you've already lost them. If you got to hold back on their dress standards because you're afraid you might lose them, you've already lost them, friend.
That's right.
Got to worry about losing them. Go ahead and stand with what's right. Stand strong. Amen. God help, it ain't the clothes anyway, Miss Holly, it's the heart. It's just a reflection. It's just a reflection of what's in that heart. Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something. After the close comes some stinking punk idiot thug. Right? We compromise on one. Here comes another. When does the compromise stop? I'll promise you one thing. It ain't going to stop in the youngin's life. They'll keep going. They'll keep going as long as we'll make compromises. As long as we let things just slip and depart from it. Had no intentions whatsoever of saying any of that, but the Lord just brought it out. How about that? We've allowed these perverts in our day to define what the scripture says. We've allowed perverts to define the words that's in our King James Bible. We've allowed the perverts to take away the King James Bible and give us the NIV or the New King James or the ASV. I've looked them up. Just out of pure curiosity, I've looked them up to see what they had to say. Perverted. Perverted. No good. I tell you, they've got this thing today. Listen to me. Listen to me. They've got this thing today. We're so departed today. You can't, listen, they ain't an ounce of difference anymore between Jesus and the devil. That's the way they've interpreted the scriptures. Hey, listen, there's no separation. There's no difference anymore in these Bibles between Satan and Jesus. They call them the same names. They mix the definitions up so much, you don't know which one is which. And I'm telling you, anymore in the day that we're living in church, we blame things on God that's the devil's fault. We blame things on the devil that's God's doings. We call God Satan and Satan God at the time anymore.
departing, man.
You say departing from what? What's that talking about? Departing from old-timey searching the scriptures. How about that? Just search the scriptures. Hey, man. There wasn't nothing wrong with some of them old-time messages, friend. Before all the pollution got out here, there ain't nothing wrong with it. We've got more information today on the Bible than we've ever had and less Bible preaching than we've ever had. Think Charles Finney and them had the information that we got? Think George Whitfield had the information that we got? And men didn't have the information that we had, but I promise you one thing, they had a God, amen, that wrote that King James Bible. Man, they stood by that. I like it. Hallelujah, I like it. I hear this. I hear this a lot. We're a compassionate church. And we just want to offer people hope. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I am first in line when it comes to compassion. I love compassion. My heart is moved often in compassion towards people. That's right. My heart is full of hope. I'll tell you how far I go, Steve. I don't believe there's a person in this building thus far that's ever been reprobated. Therefore, I believe everybody in this building today lost has a great opportunity. I believe there's hope in Jesus for you. I believe there's hope. You understand this when I say that. There's not a person in this building that can scratch the surface of rottenness of some of the people that God saved far worse than you ever dreamed to be, and I'll promise you that. He has saved some far worse than you. You say, preacher, are you sick? Listen, what you going to do with Apostle Paul? Huh? Can you hold a candle to him? I'm pretty sorry, friend, but I ain't never went and cut the, you know, I guess I'm just so self-righteous. I ain't never cut the baby out of the womb of a mama in the name of Jesus. How about that? How about that? I ain't never went and killed a pregnant lady in the name of Jesus. God, I'm just trying to say there's hope for everybody sitting in this congregation. God saved far worse than most of us sitting up in here. And they some pretty stinking sorry butt people sitting up in here. Starting right here with me. I'm all for compassion. I'm all for hope. I believe there's hope for everybody. Until they've been turned over to be a reprobate. But listen, I don't have to cut my pants off, Steve, to show you compassion. I don't have to come up here in church and wear my little boy pants to show you that I care about you. And hey, man, I want to relate with you and I care, man. There's hope for you. I don't have to take my pants off to do that. We don't have to get women up here and get tattoos on their breast and get them to jump up and down, bless God, and promote that kind of lifestyle to prove to a lost and dying world that we care and compassionate and there's hope for them. That's the world we live in, by the way. Listen, I'm not trying to be judgmental. It just is what it is, okay? Can I just be honest with you? I went up to North Wilkesboro the other day, stopped at the Shell station there on the right. What is that, by the Addison Inn? I stopped right there to get some gas. And just noticed, Steve, I was pumping my gas. And might have burped or cut the cheese or something. I was just so proud to be. I'm just kidding. But I just noticed a little boy pulled up, a boy in his 20s, and I just noticed the way he moved and his little hands flipped and I went, and he had a big old pretty tattoo on his arm and he was twisting around on his way into the gas station and I just kind of watched him, you know, and I kind of turned around and, you know, so he couldn't get a good look at me from behind and he went back over there and pumped his gas and had one of them upward church signs on his car. I said, boy, that's where we at right there. That's where we're at, Miss Stephanie. You can go down to the tattoo parlor. You can leave the whorehouse. You can be a sodomite. You can do any stinking thing you want to and go to the church and you can fit right in. You can be what you want to be. You can be the song minister. You can be the youth minister. You can be the leader out there. You can be the pastor and you can wear your little shorts and your flip flops. I'm talking about separation, son. I'm talking about a separation in our worship. Isn't it amazing at what people call compassion? Well, we just want to have compassion. Let me tell you something. Look right, smell right, act right, talk right, be separated, be holy. And you'll show compassion. Let them see Jesus in you, amen. Y'all, I've said it 1,000 times, I guess if I've said it once. But you know, years ago when they did set the goats over here and the sheep over there, The sheep was full of the Holy Ghost. The sheep was spirit-filled. The sheep were supposed to be enjoying God. They're supposed to come in, be enjoying God and the church and the service and the Word of God. While the goat sat over there and went, man, they got something I ain't got. I want what they got, huh? Nowadays, we got a whole mixed up bunch, man. They can look over and go, well, they're just like me. Trust me. Trust me. Y'all know my dear old friend. Man, I'm telling you, in his 30s, chasing a 16-year-old girl in his youth group, can justify, can prove it to be right. Hey, man, can convince himself that he's right. I tried to talk to him and said, man, you're messing up. You better leave that girl. I'm talking about a little charismatic buddy of mine. You better leave that girl alone. This is his comment to me, Mike. Dave, you jealous. You jealous of me because I got a young, good look. I said, boy, you stupid if you think I'm jealous. Who in the name of God wants a 16-year-old girl? Are you kidding yourself, boy, or what? Listen, am I right? We lost friendship over that, didn't we? Fled to Oklahoma. I'm not proud of it. Fled to Oklahoma. Has had two suicide attempts on his life. What did he go to Oklahoma for? Because the mom and daddy got on him because he was messing with a little 16-year-old girl. Huh? Wonder if her mom and daddy must have been jealous too, you reckon?
They should have shot him in the flipping heads, what they should have done, messed with a little old girl. Him, a youth pastor, she's in the youth group, and him 30-some years old, and she's 16, he's chasing her down like that. For God's sakes. We've raised a generation that's heard the gospel. That's right. You listen to me. I know a pastor this morning, Steve, that does everything that I just mentioned. And he set up underneath men like Brother Herbert. I mean, he's heard the gospel. He's heard it underneath Brother Sammy Allen. He grew up underneath Don Green. He grew up under some of the straightest gun barrelish preaching that you've ever heard in your life. We've all heard the same gospel preaching. And yet they've sat around and justified every wicked thing that they do through the scriptures in the name of Jesus. What have they done? They've departed from the faith. Well, what about their daddy? Their daddies went along with them. They've departed from the faith as well. You say, what are they? I'm going to tell you what they are. They are signs of the time. Those preachers, those kids, that generation, those people that do, they're just a sign of the times. They're a sign of the latter days. Those latter days is going to run. Let me explain this. Those latter days are going to run plumb into the tribulation period. I want you to understand that. Plumb into the tribulation period is going to be the latter days. Not the day of Christ. The day of Christ is a totally different thing as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for the church. But them latter days is going to go up to the tribulation. Them latter times is running into the tribulation. Either my preaching is real good or it's just real bad. My little girl back there, man, she's just giving it to me. Crying, Lord have mercy, I'm going to give her some candy. What's wrong with Sarah Bella? Steve, here's what I'm afraid we've got. Church, somewhere along the lines, we stopped getting people regenerated. Somewhere. We did. Somewhere along the lines, we started building these massive buildings. And through whatever it was, some publication or some, you know, group or whatever it might be, we had to produce numbers in these large buildings. And somewhere along the lines, man, we got professions without possessions. We got people that were saying prayers and repeating after me and claiming the name of Jesus, and they went home just as empty and dead and wicked as they was, probably more so, seven more devils than what they came with. And now we're seeing the fruit of all that false profession stuff. We're starting to see it. Man, I'm telling you how it's infiltrated inside our church, and we brought it in through a bunch of... Do you understand? I don't mind mentioning the name. I don't mind. That Hillsong group, that... I don't know nothing about them. I don't know if I've ever even heard them unless somebody said, hey, that's Hillsong playing on the speaker. They play them everywhere. I mean, you know, they probably got them playing down at the juke joint. I don't know. They might as well. They really might as well.
But do you understand that half the people, that the independent Baptists has went crazy over this singing group Hillsong? I'm talking about some of your old fashioned independents. Man, they got some good songs.
Really? Half of them are a bunch of seeking sodomites. They're every one of them's a bunch of sexual perverts. Either they mess around with every woman that they can.
The pastor of Hillsong Church got caught up in the middle of all of it.
It got so bad they had to excuse him.
And yet, it's not a Baptist church.
It's just a little contemporary church. They let this thing go on. They still sing their music. Listen, we talked about a year ago. Bob Jones University had that crowd in down there. He wants to diversify school, a bunch of stinking fag-loving liberals. They want to diversify and you know, be compassionate down at the school. So they brought in all them sodomite singers. You remember we looked all of them's biography up. We looked their biography up and all of them was married to other men. And their children were like little old cats, kitty cats. They were... People's going to spend money to send their youngins off to a Bob Jones University. God help us. I'd rather my kid be retarded than to get an education from somewhere that promotes sodomites. Mm-hmm. That's right. I'd rather my kids come out just being plumb, dumb, and stupid versus going to a place that's going to push and promote sodomites down their throat. This is an accepted life. Hey, bub, I'm talking about people has departed from the faith. And the Bible said, when you see this stuff happen, know that the end is near. We're in the latter days. We're in the latter days. He tells how this stuff happens. How in the world do people do this kind of stuff? Huh? That's an interesting question, ain't it? Hey, listen to me. I don't want to call names, but I know preachers that you think are some of the greatest men, and they have been. Preach some of the greatest messages, man. Got more talent, more pizzazz, more ability than I could ever dream of having. And they've gone and departed from the faith. It blows my mind. And I'm going, how in the name of Jesus do these people do this? How does this happen? How does it happen? I mean, man, I know people that can quote that Bible backwards and forward that have departed from the faith. I'm going to tell you something. He's not talking to a bunch of lost people. He's not talking to a bunch of lost people here. Look at what he says. How does this happen? Number one, they depart from the faith by giving heed to seducing spirits. Church, that is more prevalent than you think. Seducing spirits. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Don't you wish you could get your gun and handle the seducing spirits? What is seducing spirits? Seduce means to be tempted. To be led to iniquity. To surrender one's pureness. To surrender one's chastity. How about that? You don't think that? You know what them, spirit is? It's a devil. A seducing spirit is a devil. It's one of the little workers of Satan's army. And they're out there, and they're out there. These spirits are out there, and they're seducing they're seducing people. They're alluring people. They're trying to destroy their chastity, their pureness. We wonder why there's no kind of separation. I'm going to tell you why. Because people have given in to these seducing spirits. These seducing spirits are the workers of Satan. They're devils. And these devils are out to entice you. They're out to tempt you. They're out to lure you. And I'm telling you that nothing they do surprises me anymore. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing they do surprises me anymore. Man, you hear something about somebody. You hear something about something somebody's done. Don't surprise me no more. And more seducing spirits. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Can I be honest for a second? They seduce me too. Oh yeah. Them devils are out there working against you too. I mean, them thoughts that you have sometimes, guess what? Them ain't just your thoughts. That's an old devil that's come along. One of them seducing spirits that's put that thought in your head. Oh, God help us. They're there, friend. I think about this. I think about Michael and Tanya. And I sat and thought, boy, I'm telling you, I sat and thought, but when I was getting this simple thought from the Lord, I thought about each and every family in this congregation. I sat down and just meditated and thought about it. I thought about Michael and Tanya And I even got up early this morning and thought about y'all, Miss Tanya. Got up early this morning and prayed for you and your whole family.
Because, Zach, I can almost hear the seducing spirits. But what are y'all doing? I can almost hear that seducing spirit because it ain't easy, y'all, to get up all the time and load three youngins up out of bed and had an hour and a half. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And I'll promise you, the devil never does make it easy. But I'm glad, thank God, where sin abound, grace is much more abound. If God be for us, who could be against us? I'm glad God makes a way and helps people along the... That's right. But I guarantee you, buddy, there's thoughts today. Hey, man, they probably passed 500 churches between Shelby, North Carolina, and Mopsville, North Carolina. Bunch. No telling what some of them thoughts are that them devils put in their mind. You know what I think? I think they could go to any one of those 500 churches. And I think they could make them a trip to an altar, and I believe that pastor could get them to pray a prayer and do a little repeat after me. He wouldn't no more give a flip about their soul. All he cares about is another number, putting another notch on his Bible or whatever it is they do. I'm telling you, son, and just go ahead, listen, and not ever care. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. It absolutely blows my mind. And how people treat church people. Blows my mind. And it ain't necessarily people. I'm trying not to say what everything that comes to my mind. I'm trying to be discreet and or choice in my words. But Steve, I think about you and Holly. And I think about y'all raising teenage children. I thought about this early this morning. I thought about John, David, and Caleb. If you're not careful, I said something here Wednesday night. If you're not careful, you can help reprobate your little brother. Mamas and daddies do it quite often, son, by not knowing how to discipline their children. But I tell you what older brothers and older sisters can do. They can show them every stinking wrong thing in the world and help reprobate that little brother or little sister. Wouldn't want that to be, I don't want that to be on me. I don't want that to be on y'all. I just don't. I don't want that to be, I'd rather for you to set a good example for your brothers and sisters. That's right. I'd rather for them to see the Lord Jesus in your life. I get to thinking about Steve and Miss Holly. I get to thinking about raising teenagers and oh, how the devils of hell must seduce them and tell them stuff. I know because I've raised teenagers. I know some of the thoughts that I've had in my mind. I know some of the doubts that I've had in my mind and just troubles that I've had with raising. I think about this young preacher over here and his wife and that little baby. I think about it. I think about how them seducing spirits would love to get this young man to compromise. That's right. I think about how them seducing spirits would just say, hey, bud, if you'd back off a little bit, you could have more meetings. And he could. He could back off a few notches, Miss Holly, and pack up a calendar. I just get to thinking about people like Tim McVeigh, man. Tim McVeigh could back up just a little bit and fill up his calendar. But can I tell you something anyway? Y'all don't give in to them seducing spirits. I promise you, God's doing great and mighty works with you anyhow. It may not be in ten thousands, but I tell you, when we all stand before God, thank God, and we receive them crowns of life and that crown of faithfulness and all that, boy, I'm telling you, God will show you, friend, God will show you that it counted for something. Amen. That's right. I think about each family in here, how the seducing spirits must try to beat you up. Some of the things they tell you. Oh, God help us. Boy, if you'd compromise, Steve. I'm telling you, they don't give a break. Who's the youngest one in here? Gracie? Huh? She don't need much help from this seducing spirit. She's wicked enough, but, I can promise you one thing. They work on people from her all the way to grandma. They don't stop all because she's in her 70s. What are you, 85, 88, 90? All because she's up there, 70-some years old, they ain't stopping on her. Her trials are just as great, son, as they've ever been. Her temptations are just as great as they've ever been. I guarantee some of them seducing spirits say some of the ugliest things to her. I bet they say some of the most discouraging things to her. I bet they come over there with a bucket of guilt and just hang it over her head sometimes and dangle that in front of her. I just know how they are. I ain't even going to start with my wife, y'all, because she's got to live with me. Lord have mercy. Isn't it amazing how we can get to know each other? Listen,
I'm talking about seducing spirits. This is how you fall from the, this is how you depart from the faith. You give heed to them seducing spirits. Them thoughts they put in your head. Them lures, man. Hey, when I go fishing, Steve, I got a friend that's a big time bass fisher. You know, when I was a kid, you could just take an old plug and go dig you up some worms or, you know, just about anything and throw it out there. Man, we used to take bread and roll it up. Y'all remember that? We used to take bread and roll it up, put it on the hook. We'd catch all the fish we wanted just on light bread. Hey, listen, you tell this new generation, it didn't even have to be whole grain. It could just be old Maria, huh? Kingfin. It could be the white stuff. Nick told me, that old buddy of mine that fishes all the time now, he said, Dave, people don't just throw lures anymore. He said, people throw $80 and $90 worth of lures. He said, what I'm telling you is, he said, they'll put a spinnerbait and then tie another spinnerbait and then they'll tie all on one line. He said, then they'll tie a bomber plug or something. He said, there'll be two, three, four plugs on one line sometimes. They throw it. He said, one cast is like $90. He said, just to catch a fish, because they're so advanced, they threw so much at these fish, and these fish has grown so used to everything. He said, man, they just don't stop. They keep, what is all that for? Man, just to get that fish to want it. To get that fish to lure, to be enticed and take a hold of it. It ain't to say, hey, listen, I'm just trying to say, the devil will throw whatever it takes your way. Whatever it takes to lure you. Huh? Whatever it might take, whatever that thought might be, listen, sinner friend, listen, saved person, whatever that thought might be to make you quit, whatever that thought might be to get you on the wayside, whatever that thought might be that he puts in your mind to get you away from seeking after God, huh? Pursuing God. I'm talking about saved people or to pursue God. Lost people or to pursue God. But I tell you, you give in to these seducing spirits and you'll be quit so fast it'll make your head swim. Right, you'll be out of the race. You'll be out of the hunt. Dear God, sitting over on the sideline somewhere messed up. Oh, Lord Jesus. Isn't it amazing how we get to know each other and we start finding out stuff we don't like? We've all done it. We've all got close to people and then started figuring out stuff we don't like. You know, one reason why I don't like for people to get close to me, because they're going to probably start seeing my faults. I got a lot of them. I try to keep people at a distance because I keep them at a distance. They probably think I'm a pretty good old boy. They get to know me. They get to know I'm not. You know what most people do, Miss Stephanie? Listen to me, church. Most people are so stupid that they fall into the snare of focusing on other people's faults. That's, ladies and gentlemen, that is a snare of those seducing spirits. We're pretty close around here, and we all say things and do things and know things. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, there'll be a seducing spirit. I was speaking about it a while ago. But there might be a seducing spirit. You get about 2 miles down the road and that seducing spirit's still telling you, you hear what she said today. Can you believe what she said? Hey, listen to me. You know what that is? That's a seducing spirit. You know what probably made you run your mouth to start with anyway? Was that seducing spirit. Because them thoughts didn't just come from God. Most times them old ugly thoughts that hurt people, that cause damage in people's lives, that have the potential to hurt people, that didn't come from God. God said you're going to let your conversation be seasoned with grace. Them things that have the potential to hurt somebody, that came from a seducing spirit. Now watch this. Not only do you have a seducing spirit now, but there's a seducing spirit getting on everybody that heard it so that they start dwelling on what you said or what you did or how you acted. Them seducing spirits. Boy, we start talking about, what, did you hear what she said? Did you see what he done? I tell you, you know what that is, church? That's a seducing spirit drawing you in, going, yes, sucker, come on, come on. I'm about to get you real good right here. Come on. Boy, you're chasing that lure through that water. I'm telling you, that devil sitting over there going, come on, I about got you. Come on, take the bait, take the bait, take the bait. If that ain't enough bait, I'll get her to say something else. If that ain't enough bait, I'll get him to do something else. I just want to get your eyes off Jesus and get you to chasing and falling for these seducing spirits. Huh? Isn't that something? Let me remind you of something right there. You know why I believe that's a seducing spirit? Because it ain't the spirit of holiness. It ain't the spirit of God. And what's this? Don't your Bible say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood? What you wrestling about? Why are you talking about what that person did? Why are you talking about what that person said? Why is that going across over and over in your mind? What you wrestling with? Well, tell you what you're wrestling with. You're wrestling with a seducing spirit. It ain't that person. I mean, I ain't trying to be personal, but my wife can say something once in a while and I go, baby, here you are riding down the road 2 hours away and that person don't have a clue how you feeling and you're sitting in the car beside of me all discouraged. Beat down. Defeated. A seducing spirit that kicked your tail. And they're sitting over there doing fine and dandy and you're sitting over here worried about something. Man, I'm telling you, don't give in to them seducing spirits. I've seen parents raise their children for God and some old dog comes along and there goes everything you've ever taught them, huh? Everything you've ever taught them, everything you ever wanted them not to get involved with, there they are involved with it. My mama would be shouting her bobby pins out. My first instinct is murder, even raising boys, Steve. I see my boys get hooked up with the wrong girls and the first thing come to my mind was murder and I went, well, I can't kill them, I'm a Christian. You know what that is? You know what just came into my kid's life? Miss Debbie, you know what it was out there beside of our house at 2 o'clock in the morning, throwing rocks up there, calling my boy out of his bedroom at 2 o'clock in the morning? It was way beyond a whore. It was way beyond a little Davie County slut. It was a seducing spirit that was out there knocking on his window, going, come out here. Hey, come out here. Hey, 2 o'clock in the morning, some little good-looking girl outside. I'm talking about a pretty girl, son, out there going, come on out here. 2 o'clock in the morning. What in the name of God is she doing out there at 2 o'clock in the morning? Seducing spirits. Huh? Listen, just sit them out there. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I probably ought to cut the recorder off for some of this. And I'm not going to encourage you to do one thing that I ever done, but I want you to look at me real good. Because I don't want to be a hypocrite. There's my son and there's my wife. I've drugged girls off my property by the hair of their head before. Amen. Amen. I've grabbed them. You're going to jail? I'm going to jail. I don't give a flip. There's something that God gave me. I've got to deal with it. I've spent 18 years now investing my life, my money, everything I had into their life. And I'm going to let some old seducing spirit come up in here. I'm going to grab it by the hair of the head if I can, son, and drag it off the property. Thank God I never did have to go to jail over it. Thank God. It's just the way I was. And some of y'all's the same way. I know y'all are. Some of you the same way. And I'm glad, thank God, I had a mama that was willing to fight. Huh? I'm glad I had a mama that wasn't a coward. I'm glad I had a mom that was willing to walk up in the middle of a dope house. I mean a dope house. And put her finger on a junkie's nose and say, I'll kill you if you mess with my children. I like that, son. Hallelujah. I like somebody that's got that fight in them. Fight them old spirits, friend. Give it everything you got. Go off in a closet somewhere. Get a hold of God. Pray unto God. Let God give you something to fight with, amen. Sure, he'll help you. He'll help you nowadays. Bless God, we got a bunch of old sissies. They throw the towel up. They quit. They compromise. They go, well, they're going to sow their oats. I tell you, they're not going to sow their oats and live in this house, friend. They're not going to do it. Amen. I like it.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just talking about them old seducing spirits dragging people away. That's what they do. They'll drag your youngins away. And they'll drag mom and daddy over there in the poorhouse. Them seducing spirits will drag you over there into depression. Let you sit over there and worry to death about you. That's them seducing spirits, friend. Oh, I got some news about them suckers. I can hear the average American church kid today. They've heard about every bragging testimony about wickedness that they need to hear. People give their testimony and all they seem like they do anymore is brag on sin. I can promise you one thing. Here's what most of them say in this holiday. And sometimes I'm even hesitant about saying some things because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to entice stupid thoughts in people. But every once in a while, you'll hear, you can almost hear a church child say, well, they live like the devil, and they're okay. Did you hear his testimony? All the stuff that he did, he's okay. Did you hear her testimony? All the stuff she did, she's okay. She made it back. That's fine and dandy if that's your little weak theory and philosophy. But can I tell you something? Just this week, a boy that you played ball with down at North Davison got a scholarship to go pitch baseball in college. Thought he was going to do the same thing. He went out just this week, Miss Holly. He's having him a big time, partying, doing his own thing. He never made it back. Young boy got killed this week.
Man, did you hear his testimony? Did you hear, hey, you did things and you made it back. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Everybody don't make it back, and that's a chance I'm not willing to take. It's not a chance that I'm willing. It's not a smart choice. It's kind of a foolish choice to make. I'm going to tell you what the best testimony is, and I've said it before. The best testimony is that one that's just stayed right all the days of their life, huh? You don't have to be trash. Son, God honors them people that stay pure and live right and live clean. Somebody never smokes a cigarette, never smells a beer. Somebody that never lays around. Hey, listen, friend, God honors that. Them's the best testimonies in the world because I've always said that any old punk buck coward can pick up a bottle around his teammates and start chug-a-lugging beer and even acting like he is. But it takes a man to stand up and say, I don't drink. Look them in the eyes and say, I don't drink. Look them in the eyes and say, I don't smoke dope. Look them in the eyes and say, listen, I don't fornicate. I don't commit adultery. I love God. It takes a man to love God. I say a man, listen to me, I say it takes character. It takes integrity. Because Jesus said, unless you become as a little babe, amen, she's not going to get it anyhow. Well, I ain't going to get nowhere. I'm not going to get anywhere. Them's just seducing spirits. Where are we at? Seducing spirits. I ain't even got done with verse number one. How about the doctrines of devils? We're going to go eat lunch, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to look at some of the doctrines of these devils. Huh? They're in the Bible. I've preached for 40 minutes, and I'm quitting. But we've looked at seducing spirits, and I want to come back and look at the doctrines of devils. They're in your Bible. It's what's causing people to fall out. Hey, listen. Yes, Michael. Yes, Tanya. Yes. It would be easy to go to a church 10 minutes down the road. Yes. 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 Steve, Holly, yes, it would be easy to let your kids be like everybody else's kids. Just let them do what all the other wild-ass folks are doing. Be easy. Zach, it would be easy for you, son, to be able to back up a little bit. Be easy for you. I'm telling you, if you just quit being so honest, that's all. Just quit being so honest. Don't tell the truth. Every time. Just let it slide. You know what? Jimmy Lou Allen made a good statement. She said, I like these young preachers because they tell it like it is. Hey, man, she said, we ain't learned how to say it just yet. I hope to God I never learned how to say it. Hey, man. I hope that young preacher never learns how to say it. I hope God raises up little Isaiah. I'm thinking about Isaiah this morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. You, Isaiah, I was praying for you. I was praying for your family at 5 o'clock this morning. Be nice to see God raise him up in his community and use him as a vessel of honor. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I don't even know his family, but God had him on my heart early this morning to pray for him. Michael, the easiest thing in the world sometimes would be for you to go to a church 15 minutes down the road. But I tell you what, when you hooked up with Jesus, he said, my burden's easy and it's light. He ain't going to put more on us than what we can handle. I tell you, we can do some other things, but it ain't going to be the will of God. We can give in to these seducing spirits, but I promise you one thing. I ain't trying to scare you. When we give in these seducing spirits, it never helps us down the road. It always hurts us. It's always in the long run to our worst interest, not our best interest. Oh, it might seem like the thing to do right now. Man, I can fill my calendar up, but I promise you one thing. It's going to cost you down the road. Oh, there's a lot better preachers than me. I know that. There's a lot better preachers and there's a lot better prayer warriors. But I'm honest before God. I don't know if there's anybody that can love him or girls any more than I do. I'm beside your mom and dad. I don't know if there's a pastor that's going to love me more than I love him. I love him. Man. Love him. I ain't saying I'm good. I'm just saying I love him. God's got a reason for everybody being here. God's got a reason for you to be in this thing and be in this fight. And listen, I don't want you to give in to no seducing spirit. I don't want nobody to get, listen to me. How about this first? The Lord just gave it to me. I don't want anybody to be weary in well-doing. Huh? Don't get weary in doing right. Man, God will give you strength. You're going to fly. I promise you, you're going to fly. If not now, come rapture time, son, you're going to take through the air. I promise you that. Huh? If you're born again. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I find a hard place to quit, dear Lord, but Lord, we'll unhook right here and get us a bite to eat and come back. Pray, God, that you'd bless the food and bless the remainder of our service, bless the remainder of our day. God, each and every family in this congregation, I pray, God, that you'd help us somehow. God, to get it about us, Lord, that we do not want to be part of the Latter-day Saints. Help us, dear God, to be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. God, help us to go on with Jesus. God, all the days of our life, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.